Hello, my marketing and entrepreneur friends. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Let's Talk Marketing Podcast, where I, your host, Katya Allison, get to explore the latest trends, techniques, and strategies in this world of marketing. In today's episode, I have the pleasure of interviewing Jennifer Sutton, who is a total powerhouse. She's a three-time founder, a mom of four, and an expert when it comes to marketing and advertising. After spending two decades in big ad agencies, she took the leap and launched Bright Marketing, which she grew into a multi-million dollar business. Plus, she hosts Hello Chaos podcast, where she shares her journey and insights with other founders. Now, in today's episode, we're talking all about the challenges that founders face and how her approach to marketing and strategy has really helped brands grow sustainably. She shares her take on aligning marketing efforts with business goals, the power of understanding data, and why building a healthy brand isn't just about selling, it's about being intentional with everything you do. Whether you are a founder yourself or just someone looking to level up your marketing game, this episode is packed with practical tips and strategies that will help you grow with purpose. And on that note, grab your favorite beverage, a sit back, and let's dive into it. Let's talk marketing. Jennifer, welcome to the Let's Talk Marketing podcast. Really excited to have you on here today.
Thank you, Katya. I'm excited to be here. Love all things marketing.
Samesies. We are going to get along quite nicely. And today what we're going to really be talking about is marketing as a tool for empowering a brand and a company. Yep. But we don't want to skip ahead. We want the audience to get to know you a little bit. I've got my standard questions. So let's get started with introducing you to the audience. Sure. My first question is, what was your first marketing role? Whether it had marketing in the title or it didn't. This one I always like to say is, what made you get the bug?
Yeah, well, I'm probably an unusual person. I went to school for marketing communications and research design. And I started in an agency pretty much right out of school in the media department in a large agency where they basically, that's where they put you to learn all the advertising terms, to scour through media kits, really understanding the framework of how to use media consumption behavior data, as well as analyzing that against the media sources that are out there and platforms. And how do you choose? How do you select? Where do you want to show up? And you know, help the media planners and the media strategist better plan the media media program. So I did that for, and I got the bug there of just kind of the science behind marketing and the media math. And I would say I'm a serial agency person. So I have been in agencies for 30 years. Like I said, grew up in the media department and the data research, and just made my climb through those agencies from media department to then running the department to then becoming, you know, running the account planning departments and then running client service departments in, you know, in large agencies where, you know, public relations, the media people, the research departments, the digital and user experience, and then the account service departments all kind of rolled up into my oversight. And then I got tired of traditional agencies. I'm going to date myself, but, I started my own company in 2013 because we saw a huge shift in the industry coming out of the 2008 recession. And a lot of pressure was put in on advertising agencies by brands and by businesses of, you know, we used to have $10 million or $20 million, or some clients had, you know, $100,000, and then these VPs of marketing, the chief marketing officers, or sometimes CEOs were came back after the recession. They're like, I don't have 10 million to just do my ad campaign. I now have 1 million, but now you guys have to help me figure out how to allocate my resources, because now I'm responsible for not just the ad campaign, but the events and trade shows. Now I've got Salesforce and the sales team's reporting to me. Now I've got digital and the digital marketing team reporting to me and the CRMs. And now I've got, you know, it's a whole slew of things. And it's now, how do you slice the pie? And a lot of traditional ad agencies were not equipped. They weren't structured. They didn't have the right people on their teams to basically, you know, to serve the business community. If you had those lot of money to be able to afford some of the bigger agencies, you kind of rode the storm. But if you were a midsize or a smaller business, that thinking wasn't available to you. And, you know, and during that landscape of 2008 to, you know, 2013, even to 2015, we saw the industry fragment like we've never seen it before. And that was due after 2008 recession, 40% of all ad agencies closed their doors in the U.S. If they didn't close their doors, the average, I think, layoffs were around 20%. So you had really high caliber people that then lost their job. So if you're a creative director, what did you do? You opened up your own little creative shop. If you're a research person, you opened up your research shop. If you were, you know, account service person, you might have opened your own kind of generalist marketing, you know, consultation. Or if you're a digital guy, you opened up your own digital shop and so forth. So it fragmented our industry. And so companies that, again, that came back, they were like, oh, I know, I need that creative guy, or I need that social person. And that kind of started the trend of VPs or marketing managers, marketing directors inside of companies really becoming more vendor management versus having a strategic seat at the table, or becoming more of an admin support to sales. And we're still feeling that trend today. So there you go.
You are definitely speaking my language, because, I mean, well, we could actually have the whole podcast about this subject in general. Well, because, before I even get to the latter questions that I had of like what it is that you just kind of unpacked from there, I'm really kind of curious, because you have such extensive agency background, and that's really where you stepped into as your foray to marketing. I'm curious, do you think where you started is a good place to get started from a marketing perspective, because it helps you understand things? Or knowing now what you know, would you be like, I actually would start at this point?
No. And I recommend for any young people that are coming out of school and they think, well, I got my Google certification, I can just work with my neighbors or my people I see on, I'm like, go inside an agency, a large agency working on a large, like larger businesses and brands. So you really understand and get the discipline of what is the difference between branding, marketing, and advertising. There are completely different frameworks of how to approach, how to plan those. Our industry, because of that fragmentation, that explosion that I talked about back in, you know, 2008, 2010, we as an industry interchange those three terms. And we've kind of muddied. And it makes it very difficult for growing businesses, owners, you know, I call it the owner operators of businesses, or even like midsize that maybe haven't been able to hire that blue chip agency. They don't get that level of thinking. And so we've seen also a lot of people coming into agency space, that just, they're working for very small or very boutique niche, and they're just not getting that level of of thinking, that I call big agency thinking, because it's the processes, it's the approach of what made Apple, Apple, what made Google, Google, what made Michelin, Michelin, that can be applied to a startup. That's, you know, yes, that's a baby. So it's, and so when these businesses go out and go, they don't know what questions to even ask agencies. So they're getting kind of, they're buying what they think is what they need, but they're buying a task, but they're not getting, they're not doing it to, from a strategic perspective.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. What you lack is the full, what you're saying, you know, like you don't get the thinking part of like the full on strategy of connecting all of the dots. You have this need and you're seeking, especially as, you know, a marketing manager who does feel like a vendor manager at times, because I have a very small team and the rest, they're all vendors. Right. They're all vendors and I'll pick and choose. And I go to the vendor that can make those connections for me between vendors. And I'm always in a unique position where I'm all about connecting my vendors with one another if I have preferred vendors, so that they can then take things offline as well too, and then work as a team. My background is a little different because I do come from a boutique agency, and where I think the advantage that you have of doing things at such a broader scale, what I think I learned so much from a boutique agency is the code switching that has to happen and the many hats that you wear. So you start to get really comfortable with being uncomfortable is probably the best way that I can articulate it. And there's this adage of that's not my job. Like there's just no such thing. That's not your job.
That's right. And you know, and I've worked at various, you know, agency sizes, and I would say my favorite experience was just that, working for a mid-size agency, you know, a few hundred people, because you do wear multiple hats. You get to sit in the boardroom with, you know, CEOs or the C-suite of a, you know, $250 million, you know, business, or you're working on specialty projects at like a, you know, a blue chip brand, and you're seeing how you need to, from a client service, how do you help your points manage up, manage down, you know, side, manage down,
and
help them become heroes in their own, you know, in their own seats. But at the same time, you kind of apply that to building your own team, where you've got a team of, you know, 10 people or 50 people or 100 people, and you're also navigating, you know, those paths and cultivating and nurturing people on your own team. And so that was my favorite, of kind of wearing those multiple hats, where you do have to see how everything connects the dots.
You do. Yeah. You do. It makes you such a strong marketer. Once had someone say, like, I don't even know what your specialty is. And I'm like, I don't have one. And I used to think that, like, you know, it's the term of generalist that I used to have such a hard time with. And I'm like, no, that's okay.
Yeah.
It means that I can understand the connections, right?
Well, and I've reframed it, because I don't like the word generalist either. So what I learned at the agent before I started my agency, one of the things, again, after you see all these companies that are coming back after the recession, but they're stressed, there's pressure of, oh my God, how do I attribute my pie, right? And still keep the company moving forward and in a growth mindset. And what I recognized, even in a few hundred person agency, was I was one of the only people in that agency that actually could dot connect and to integrate.
So your experiences with agency, you're still in agency. I feel like we've clearly heard what it is that you love about it. It's the connecting of the dots, the people, like doing kind of this just problem solving for them. What, if anything, if I could wave my wand, if I could pluck this out, what would that be?
Repeat the question. I'm sorry. Say it again.
No, That's okay. What if anything, if I had a magic wand right. and I could pluck anything out of your job right now?
Pluck anything out. I thought you said fluff. I was like, I don't know if I'm with that.
No, that would be a different podcast, right. Jennifer. That would be a different podcast. No, what if I could pluck anything out?
You know, it's interesting because I talk about that with our team. There are days where it's really frustrating when we have to clean up messes, but it's part of our service to walk with our clients. And what we've kind of had to learn is, we just have to be very curious, ask good questions, because we don't know what they don't know. And a lot of times there's this fear of, I don't want to reveal that I don't know anything. But when they do, what's most frustrating, and when I tell you, we deal with this on a daily. So it is the frustration of when we do work and collaborate, or we have to play cleanup because the client has hired, I would call it, a very inexperienced vendor, marketing vendor, whether it's SEO or if it's website, you know, maintenance, or if it's social, we're having to clean up because it's either purely bad actor, it's a scam artist. And we've noticed over the last 6 years, the number of bad actors out there. And some of these people have, like, it's not somebody local down the street that has a handful of clients. These are national companies that have thousands of clients, small businesses, and they're literal scam artists. Scam artists, bad actors. So we either are working, like, we kind of have to uncover, is it, you know, inexperience? And that's just sometimes where we have to work with that vendor, get them, kind of coach them, where we become coaches, we become the teachers on behalf of our client, because our client's like, oh, and then we end up, eventually we kind of have to advise the client, look, if the budget is affording you this, but also we've got to be compensated for that time. So either we need to absorb those activities and tasks and make them more intentional, or you've got to budget oversight hours for us because they're inexperienced and those, their tasks are not working as hard. And that's still time, money, and energy, right? That's happening in that client's budget. But yeah, we play cleanup on the daily.
So the cleanup, if I could pluck it out, I would pluck it out. Yeah. Because I think to your point, it's, you know, while you're still executing and you're doing stuff that helps support your clients, it's not adding to the value and the power of marketing.
It isn't.
Of what you can execute.
And it's inefficient. It's misalignment. To me, that's where I love marketing, and whether it's branding, marketing, or advertising, kind of those frameworks, it's because you're really getting an alignment in how to use a company's time, money, and resources and energy to achieve the growth goals that every company wants to achieve. And I love it. It's that problem solving, but it's the misalignment of those resources that get either, hey, I need to have a social media, you know, company because we've heard we've got to have that. And it's like, you do, but let's be more intentional and purposeful around those activities and hire smartly for that. And so we become, like I said, guidance counselors. We're brand therapists. We're marketing counselors. We're coaches. We're advisors on the daily.
I think that that's actually such a great segue as we're talking about, like, the power of marketing for brands, to just kind of start with the basics. I'd love to know, how do you see marketing as a tool for empowering businesses today and really helping them grow?
Yeah. That's a great question. Let's start with even the basics. When I talk about these different planning frameworks, is that when people think, what's my go-to-market strategy? I think there's a lack of clarity of what marketing is. I've heard marketing people go, oh, well, marketing is down here. That's communication. Or that's just a support to sales. That's what marketing is like. No. Marketing is everything. It's taking your business strategy, your business plan, and how does it come to life? And that's in that greater market. So you talk about empowering. It literally is your tools. It's your levers of, you know, if I have this giant toolbox, how am I going to, you know, operate that toolbox, those levers that I'm going to push and pull to move the, you know, if you talk about sports analogy, like in football, how do I move the ball on the field faster with more wins under my belt? So when we look at like that framework, branding is, you know, the business strategy is, this is what I want to do. This is the category I'm in. And I want to achieve, you know, going from 50 million to 150 million in 5 years, right?
Yeah.
That's the business goal, business strategy. Well, how you do that is you've got to first go, well, what's my brand, right? That's the center of it. Who is the audience I'm serving? How am I solving their pain points? What's the value in that? You know, I've got to be relevant and meaningful to solving that problem and differentiated, right? What's that voice, my personality? How am I presenting myself? We call that's the what message, getting all that defined. And then that marketing is then the how. How am I going to convey that what message? How am I going to convey that in to my people, my sales team? How is my sales team going to convey that to then the audience that they've got to sell to, whether it's, you know, B2B or B2C? How is that conveyed on my website? How is that conveyed in my product mix? And my product value or my service value? How does that get conveyed if I'm a storefront, my physical presence? Or, you know, not just, and then when you walk in the store, how is that conveyed in the store as you walk through? How is that conveyed in the processes that if I say I'm a brand that represents ease of doing business with, I better have my processes in place to empower my people to deliver on that brand promise, because that's the what, you know. So that's where everything gets shaped by how I come to market, how that brand message is conveyed across every single touch point, and everybody that delivers that touch point. And then advertising framework, I think, you know, to bring some clarity around there is how do you figure out where then to show up? Where is that message? Where does that need to be conveyed to get people to think differently, to act differently, to feel something? And when we say advertising, that's in the four media buckets. Again, those are levers, right? Where does my time, money, and resources need to be spent in paid media, social media, earned media, and owned media? And there might be a different mix, different weighting. And this is where I think, you know, a lot of smaller companies or inexperienced marketers get lost, is because they jump in and go, I am in charge of doing this task, social media. And they have no knowledge, nor do the people that they're reporting to might not have given them instruction of how am I using these platforms, these tools to go back to adding value to the company. So you've really got to determine, again, how those, the seven P's of marketing, how are those things being used to empower your brand to achieve the results that you need? And then advertising just becomes the offset of really choosing the where. Where do I need to be to inform people? Where do I need to be to educate people? Where do I need to be to motivate and inspire people? The decisions become much easier as you really think through your brand and you get clarity around that what, the why and the what and who we're serving. Once that's defined, it's really easy then, much easier to go, okay, we're all about service and convenience, and I want to be a friendly, fun, welcoming brand. Your choices of what you do in determining where, the place that you're going to sell, is it going to be online? Is it a bricks and mortar? What's the experience people have? I need to train my people to then convey that. I mean, look at Chick-fil-A. Their brand is all about convenience and kindness and service. But they work really, really hard in their people management, their training, even their uniforms that they've chosen are aesthetically pleasing for the employee to feel good about working there. So they convey that kindness. So those decisions just trickle down, but it starts with the brand. And then where you show up, those decisions become much easier when you're like, my audience is here, right? I'm serving this audience, but I can only afford to target this small window because I only have the budget to spend in this market. Which ones of the advertising buckets do I need to spend my time, money, and resources to move the needle forward?
So really, to me, it sounds like the power or the empowerment that marketing can bring a brand is through alignment. And that starts with the who, the why, and the why,
yes. And then the how, and then the where.
Yes.
So it's the all-encompassing. It's the brand is the why and the what and the who. Marketing is the how, and advertising is the where.
That is
the full marketing framework of developing your go-to-market strategy. You can't just jump in and go, and this is where I think the mistake of a lot of young marketers or people that, I work with CEOs of $500,000 companies who think that marketing is just an offset of business development.
Yeah.
And so when I sit with them, they're like, I never thought of it that way. That's why I struggle. That's why I feel like I'm always like filling a bucket full of holes. And it's the more I'm trying to fill that bucket, it's just leaking out the bottom because the framework, the structure, the strategy isn't there. And it's either fragmented without intentionality or and too many people doing too many things, and nobody really has a good eye on the ball to go, where are we going? Are we trying to move the needle 10 yards ahead? Or or the bigger play of we got to win the series.
Yeah. Well, and then just, tagging on what you said in regards to, leadership saying like, I feel like we're filling the bucket and then it's just like leaking out. I do often think that the reason that they're feeling that is because they're looking for a return on investment in marketing. And to your point, if they don't have a full understanding of what it is, then they don't know what it is that they're investing in.
Right.
So how do you help solve that for some of the people that you come across where you're trying to explain like the framework and the return on investment when it comes down to it? Because I think they're looking for leads. They're looking for revenue. Like, if you're not showing me this, why would I invest all of this amount?
Right.
So how do you tackle that?
So we ask a lot of good questions. I mean, it's a, trying to uncover, looking at the data. And I think this is another, inexperience, like if you haven't been exposed to the difference between data and an insight, I think CEOs or C-suite, they're looking at data points, but they don't know what the insight, what is that data telling me?
So the story.
What's the story? So we, we look at it and go, all right, 60% of your customers are female. Why? So a lot of it's just like sitting down going, you know, or they go, I'm trying to, my audience is this. Men 40 and older. Why? Why do you think that? Have those points been validated? Is it just because that's the only place that you've been spending money? Or is that the as you look at the market, is that what your product or service? Can it not solve other people's problems? So it's just yeah. going like asking why. You know, I think we look at a data point and go 60%, it's all females. Let's figure out why. Why are they buying from us? And so, you know, after you ask maybe two or three questions, it's, oh, that women feel empowered by my product. Women feel more confident and have feel like they have more self-worth by buying our product. Ooh, that's an interesting insight. We can craft stories around that. Or, you know, looking at someone's data and trying to get them not to be bought into the likes, I call it the vanity metrics. It's junk. I was like, so if your team is only producing and serving upstream, we got this many followers and, you know, and this many likes or this many engagements, and they're going, but I'm not seeing sales off of it. It's like, well, let's talk about that. Those levers that I talked about in that advertising framework of social versus paid versus owned versus earned, every single one of those media buckets, that media mix, have different runways. So if I'm sitting with a C-suite and go, you want to get X revenue in this short of time frame, we need to focus all of our resources and our time and money to then focus on that objective because it's got a short runway and you have very limited time, money, and budget. But you can't sacrifice the greater pipeline. So just helping them understand yeah. the balance between these are tactics that will help your long-term sustainability. You know, if your objective is I'm just in the market and when we start talking to them, I'm like, ooh, you're trying to not just sell a product. You're also creating a category that yeah. you're number one in. That's a long runway, but you need, so that's two different communication and marketing and advertising strategies that are you willing to invest in creating the category? Because you can't do it with just advertising and getting leads and revenue generation, right? So it's yeah. really helping them, the executives really understand what they've said as their business strategy. How do we apply it into their go-to-market strategy? And how do we use the power of marketing to then execute on that brand? How do we execute across those seven P's? And then how do we determine what resources to spend in the where? Where do we need to show up to educate? Where do we need to show up to inform and inspire? Because changing somebody's perception to think differently about something, you know, that might take 2 or 3 years. But yet you still need to also have mechanics in place to generate immediate sales by stealing market share from the nearest competitor. Positioning yourself from those competitors that you're trying to steal market share. The choices you make in those decisions, the messages that you communicate are very different. And you've got to look at what message do I need to convey? What's the objective I'm trying to meet? And what media and medium is going to be the best one to attack my bigger funnel? And not like salespeople, I think, are so consumed with the sales funnel. That's a different funnel yeah. than like the brand funnel of you yeah. can't sell to people who don't know about you. You can't sell to people who don't even have you in their consideration set. You're not going to win sales from people who have not preferred you or the category yet. So, you know, that then you get into like, oh, now they're aware of me. They've considered me. Ooh, there's some preference there. That becomes the sales pipeline.
Now I attack
bottom of the funnel. And every business, their funnel is shaped differently. That's why it's like whenever I hear, oh, this agency, they have a templated approach. And it's like, there is no magic formula. That's like, there is no magic formula. I'm like, not in brand, not in marketing mix. Like, you might need to spend a lot of time, money, and resources to fix maybe a people problem, right? In your organization, which we, you know, where resources have to be allocated to help with your retention. You might have a process problem in your sales conversion, where you're only closing 8%, but your category and your industry average is closing at 50%. You've got a process problem.
Yeah. Well, and to me, it sounds like, you know, the answer to the question of how you really get the C-suite executive leadership and whatnot to really buy into, not buy into, that sounds bad, but to, for lack of a better word, to buy into, like, hey, this is what marketing it is and this is what marketing isn't, is really a dialogue that has to happen. And I could not agree with you more. There has to be such a different level of conversation that has to happen and back and forth. And I love the fact that you said there's not a templated approach.
Oh, yeah.
Because I would even venture to say, if there is an agency that tells you, or you're working with a vendor that has a template for it, I mean, that can maybe be a foundation, but to me, that's a red flag. That means that they're trying to do a cookie cutter approach. They don't understand that they have what numbers that they have to look at, the insights that they have to be able take away from.
Otherwise, you're just getting junk. Especially agencies that are buying, like media agencies that are, I can guarantee you, 50 leads a week. And it's like, anybody can do that. It's the right leads.
Are they crap leads?
Which ones are going to convert more likely? And it's funny, you know, we lose out to those agencies, but 6 months later, those clients boomerang back up and they're like, you're so right. What they defined as a lead was a click. So according to the agency, they got you what you said you wanted. They guaranteed that.
And it's like, you got all the clicks.
You got all the clicks. Or you got a bunch of form fields, but they were bots. And like I said, we deal with a lot of scammers and bad actors who are making those type of promises, who are saying there's a magic formula. And I'm just like, even in the why would you go with somebody and choose somebody, even if it's a spend of $1,000 a month, if they don't know how to ask the right questions, because that's still $12,000.
Yeah.
If you're a small business, that $12,000 could go to, oh, I might need to hire somebody to coach my salespeople.
I'm glad that you brought up like the small businesses, because I think like anybody listening can also get very overwhelmed with one, how passionate we are about this,
but two,
also like, I don't even know where to start. So if I'm a small business, what do you think every business owner can do to really get their marketing on track? What kind of advice can you give someone?
So I do business coaching in a minority business accelerator in the country. I was a Goldman Sachs 10,000 small business alumni, and I give back to that community as well as my local community. So this is what I tell these small businesses is start with the brand. Go and do three simple, like our process will go deeper, but if you just starting out, or if you're trying to get clarity, do these three exercises. You can do these if you're just a business owner, you don't have anybody else that can participate. But if you've got a team, do this with your team, because what's in your head and what your thoughts are, other people on the team might have other insights to participate. Yeah. And so you're like, and people help support the world they help to create. So if you bring them along and they're with you as you're kind of defining that brand, it's easier to get them behind it. But these three exercises are, the first one, take out a sheet of paper and write on the top of it who you're trying to serve. Like what your product or service, who you're selling to today. And if you have multiple audiences, every sheet of paper should represent each audience you're reaching. And write on there, sit in that person's or that audience, that person's shoes, when you're thinking of it as I'm just making it, men 40 and older, that drive SUVs, walk in their shoes and go, what are their pain points? What are the barriers? How do they consume media? Where are they getting information? Who influences them? Where literally are the pains that they go through on a day-to-day basis? And then after you do that, that's exercise one, take that time. The second exercise is get another sheet of paper and put at the top of your company name. And then for each audience, so audience one, how is your product or service solving their problem? So how are you easing that pain? Mm-hmm. And just what gains do they get? Do they feel more empowered? Do they feel more confident? Do they, feel skinnier? Whatever that is, they feel cooler. Is it more freedom? Is it peace of mind? Like what are they gaining? Not just how you're solving the problem. Then have that. And then the third exercise is on another sheet of paper, write your company name and write every word, phrase, image, whatever association, when you hear somebody say, Bright Marketing, what are all the words, images, and phrases that you want people to have? What do you want them to think? What do you want them to feel? How do you want them to act when they hear your name? And a lot of time that's more, not just today, what do you want them to think maybe in the future? So it gets a little more aspirational. And then you start looking at those and go, ooh, here's where I'm really, you might want to circle then on the that paper. What am I really good at? What are my strengths? Circle those words. And then look at it and go, what words are most relevant and meaningful then to the audience from that first exercise? And start comparing. Now you start going, out of the words, which ones are most differentiated that I do that nobody else really can do, or they will struggle to execute? So it's not, they can't copy me very easily. What are those? So now you're starting to formulate what's relevant, meaningful, and differentiated from my business, my brand, to that audience. All of a sudden, those five or six words, because that's what happens usually, you start out with like a sheet of paper of like 50 in that third exercise, you start narrowing it down, and you're like, ooh, there's only like three words, now your brand story, your narrative is getting a little bit more clear. Now you're also looking at, ooh, maybe there's some other ways, like how do I serve this audience? And maybe a way they haven't thought of, but I see their pain point and I can maybe in your customer service or the way that you go into market to make, their life easier to break down those barriers. But you start getting that clarity around the brand. This is a message that I tell a lot of these like smaller businesses. They kind of go, they start apologizing. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I've never done this before. Because a lot of times we as business owners, we make the mistake of we go to market in our message with who we are. This is what I do. This is what I'm giving you. And it's really about how am I solving that problem? What value am I bringing into that person or to that market, that category on a day-to-day basis? And that's where we need to center our messaging. But yeah, I will talk and they're like, oh my God, I feel so bad. I feel so silly. I've never done this before. And I'm going, I work with 80-year-old brands. I'm getting ready to do this type of exercise for them. And, you know, I work with Fortune 500 companies and I do this same thing. A lot of times as companies grow and they move forward,
you have to reevaluate it.
And yeah, or it's like second generation kind of ownership of, yeah. Oh, how do we refresh the brand and tell that story? And I'm going, you might be a 10-year-old company or a 20-year-old company, but, or even a 3-year-old company. Don't feel bad because some of the mid-sized companies that you think, ooh, they've got it. They know it.
No, they don't.
They either haven't worked with like an agency and they've grown. And a lot of times like they're coming to us because they've recognized, this is what I hear most from CEOs of, I know something's not working, but I don't know what's not working.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, I love the fact that you've given the listeners, you know, 3 exercises that they can definitely walk away with. And, I think the final question that I have for you to wrap up the podcast is, if you knew then what you know now, what is the marketing or non-marketing advice that you give to yourself? I mean, you've already dropped a lot of knowledge.
I have to remind myself, we went through the same exercise, you know, post-COVID, when it was really difficult to get clients. We had never had to market our own selves. And with our industry kind of had changed over the last few years, we had to do the same thing, like go back and reflect, who are we trying to serve? We went through this, like, do we need to change how we do business? Do we need to, you know, we uncovered, we don't talk about the science side, or I call it, you know, we're the integrators, the alignment, the power of that alignment, the power of integration, the power of the art and science of marketing. It can't just all be about creativity and storytelling if it's not rooted in the foundation of strategy and data and insights.
Absolutely.
You're just putting fun stories out there, but it's a short-term fix. It's not a long-term game. So we had to go and kind of refresh how we talk about ourselves. And that would, you know, so I think what I've kind of told myself of, if I could go back, and I have to remind myself to do this too, of, and I try to teach my team this too, of, you know, don't get so caught up with subjectivity. Make sure whatever commentary we have with our clients, you know, their feedback, as well as anything that we're doing, that we're putting out there, it needs to have the foundation of, or the filter of, what's the objective, and is the feedback subjective? And what type of subjectivity is it? Like, if it's just a visceral, like our clients, like, I hate red. Okay, that's, you know, is that rooted in something where we're never going to win? So we've got to address that. Or is that a coaching moment that we've got to stop and go, how do we therapize past this? You know, and you know that you've seen that in your teams, and I've had to coach like in leadership when they're getting feedback by committee. And I'm like, you know, for like a brand story or an ad campaign and it's like a new VP of marketing or a new chief marketing officer kind of maybe in that caliber of role. And they, you know, we have to remind them, make sure that if you want to fight the battle inside that room, or you just need to filter that feedback to go, if someone's going, oh, instead of a dash, I would rather have a semicolon, You just need to make a mental note of thanks, but I'm not going to weight your feedback with a lot of credibility because it's not rooted in objectivity. It's not rooted in anything other than I've got no other value to add. So I'm going to I just need to say something in the room to look important. Yes. It's like,
yes. Oh my God. Preach for sure. What a great way to wrap it up. I will always say that this is what I like to tell people when they give me like the semicolon versus colon feedback, because that's pretty much the bucket that it falls into. I always say, thanks so much for your feedback. I'll make a note of it.
We'll make a note. We'll put it under consultation. And so, you know, but we've got a coach kind of give that confidence to those leaders because they, you know, if you're sitting in an engineering firm and you get feedback from 30 engineers who really can't think abstractly. They think because this is how they consume media, then that must be how the audience consumes media. And they make a lot of assumptions and they give feedback based on personal assumptions. And so we've got to just take and then guide the clients to go, this is stuff that we're taking to heart and we'll make these changes. This is why we're not even going to listen to this. And you shouldn't either. And you've got to manage that, you know, up or side. And so we arm them with what content that they need to also build their own trust and credibility inside the organization. But that's I'm always like, oh, that feedback. We have to do it with a, you know, thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Nothing else. Like no objective. And it's like, here's the brand story. Ooh, I don't like that word for. Let's use with. So I always love to go, but the intent's there, right? You understand that's, we're good, right? This is the right strategy. Well, you know, it's like you have to force that.
Oh, the amount of meetings I've been in. Oh my gosh. I've taken up so much of your time, Jennifer. Oh, I appreciate you coming on here so much. I feel like we're definitely birds of the same feather. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Thank you.
Welcome back. I hope you found that episode just as interesting as I did. I am, as usual, ready to dive into the key takeaways. So let's get to it. The first key takeaway, align business with marketing. Now, marketing isn't just about flashy ads. It's about smart, strategic alignment with your business goals. It's like setting up dominoes. Each marketing move should set off the next step towards your business objectives, making sure that every piece contributes to that bigger picture. Make business impact. Essentially, Jennifer said that every piece of your marketing strategy should be looked at as more of building blocks that support your broader business objectives. Make business impact. Did I say that twice? Of course I did. It's worth mentioning 10 times over. Your marketing strategy is like a GPS system that's kind of guiding your business journey down streets, freeways, and avoiding tolls. You wouldn't set off on any road trip or journey without really knowing how you're going to get there, whether you use GPS or not. Am I right? So why would you do that for marketing? You shouldn't. If the BHAG is, you know, the big, hairy, audacious goal is to 50X your business, the marketing plan should support that. Additionally, it keeps your job safe. It's funny because people assume that, or they panic about like AI is going to take over their jobs, and especially when it comes to marketing, when they really should be more worried about not showing their value. And I don't mean, you know, I work 80 hours a week. It's actually not even about how many hours you work. We're all hard workers. I mean, how does marketing make a business impact? There's a reason that I keep saying it, right? It's there again. Because at the end of the day, if I can show you how we marketing contribute to your vision, mission, and bottom line, it shows that marketing is worth investing in. So I also like to see it as job security. This is also why you need to, and this is why
I have it as my key takeaway number two, which is, again, just aligning your business. All right. I said key takeaway number two. I meant key takeaway number one. I'm apparently already mentally on number two. Let's go on with number two. So key takeaway number two, don't fall for just any vendor. It's never love at first sight. Now, Jennifer felt very strongly about the number of inexperienced and downright dishonest vendors that are out there, especially in this day and age of marketing. Definitely had an opinion about scammers. Now, she provided us with some tips. One is vendors, look out for vendors that are making unrealistic promises. Like, for example, guaranteed leads. You'll get 1,000 leads because you know what? Agencies claiming, this is number two, that they can deliver a specific number of leads without qualifying their quality is something you should look out for. It's not just the number, it's the quality that you're looking for. Also look out for vendors who define quote unquote leads as clicks or bot-filled forms, okay? Not every lead is a good lead. And the final one that she said was agencies or vendors that are promising this kind of magic formula or a templated approach to marketing. You are an individual brand, you are an individual company, so should your marketing be. It should be individual based on what your goals are, goals and your needs. The others that I would add that you should look out for are, look at the fine print. When they say, for example, when they say they're going to give you weekly reports, what comes in those reports? Is that what you even want to see? Those are the types of questions and how deep you should be going with, like, really kind of, and it is interviewing your vendors. The other one I would add is, how much of their time do you get? As someone who is always strapped with time, leading a small marketing team, time is money, time is bandwidth, time is resource, time is everything, right? So how available are they going to be to you? Is there a weekly, biweekly, monthly meeting? Is it just meetings or is it email? Is it, dare I say, even a phone call? Understanding the pecking order of where you are with the rest of what they're handling is very important. The key advice really seems to be, if you're not picking up what we're putting down, is asking a lot of probing questions. Look beyond the surface level metrics and be a little skeptical of vendors promising too quick, easy solutions without understanding your specific needs. Looking for good vendors is just as hard as finding a good mechanic. You wouldn't hand over your keys to just anyone, right? You need someone who's trustworthy, who can really tune up your engine and not just get you your superficial polish. You know, you don't just need a clean car, you need one that's working. Vetting your marketing partners means that you invest in those who really add value, not just a quick fix. Key takeaway number three. The mixology of marketing. Now, crafting the right marketing mix is all about hitting the right note with the right audience at the right time. The trifecta, if you will. Blending traditional and digital media can really amplify your message and create symphonies over just making noise. Now, Jennifer articulated it well when she said, it's where do I need to show up to educate, inform, and inspire? And what I will add is, and what do you bring once you get there? Look at your goals and objectives and then focus on the strengths of the traditional versus the digital or vice versa. So use traditional media for broader reach and to establish credibility. Television, radio, and print ads, those aren't dead. They're excellent for quickly reaching a large audience and building brand recognition. Use digital for targeting engagement and measurement. Platforms like a Facebook, Instagram, or Google Ads allow you to be precise or as close to precise as you can with audience targeting that is based on demographics, interests, behaviors, titles. Digital channels are also great for engaging with your audience through interactive content, direct messaging, and social media conversations. So there's a lot at your fingertips. Combining the both means you're fully covered. Finding this right marketing mix is similar to being a good chef in a kitchen. You've got all of these ingredients, TV, social media, print, online ads, et cetera, et cetera. But knowing how much of each to use
and when can turn a good dish into a gourmet feast. By mixing these ingredients thoughtfully, you ensure that your marketing not only reaches, but it resonates with your audience, making every dollar you have work harder. Now, what did you take away from today's episode? I want to hear all about it. A special thank you to my podcast editor, Johnny Ike, and thanks to you for spending your time with me today. Until next time, may the conversation flow, the laughter linger, and the outlook remain optimistic, but grounded in reality. This is Katya, signing off.